Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might be the Messiah. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in your hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them. He locked John up in the prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your precious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Baptism of the Lord Sunday. We've heard that story. Well, we hear it every year, right? After Epiphany. This is, as I was saying on Thursday night, this is sort of what we used to call them trailers when I was a kid because there were commercials that showed at the end of the movies. They're still called trailers, although my teenage daughter corrected me. She says, no, actually, they're called previews now, because they've moved them to the front of the movies, and now, I don't know if you've been to the movies, the movies don't start till about 25 minutes after they're scheduled to start because of the what I call trailers, or what they now call previews. But this is a little bit of a preview that we're hearing today about upcoming season of Lent. Before we know it, it'll be Ash Wednesday, Mardi Gras will be over, we'll be putting away king cakes for the year, and we'll be in the penitential season of Lent. So we hear this story every year, but here's something that stuck out to me this week as I was studying this scripture. It's that very last verse that we heard. Luke's given us this account of Jesus being baptized by John. And after Jesus is baptized and God proclaims, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," it tells us that Jesus is about 30 years old when he began his ministry. See, that's that teaser, that preview to the ministry of Christ that we're going to all walk through together during those 40 days of Lent. But this is the part that caught me. He was the son. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. It's an interesting phraseology, isn't it? He was the son, so they thought, of Joseph. And there's other places in Scripture, too. Jesus is traveling around, and they say things like, "Oh, we know him. Don't we know his brothers and his mother Mary? Isn't he Joseph's boy?" But here Luke is just so creative about that, and it really causes you to stop and go, "So they thought." But I think that the Holy Spirit moved Luke to write that for very, very specific reasons. So they thought. Because they thought he was, at this point, a son of man, that he was fully human, which he was. But they didn't quite understand yet until he goes through his ministry, and then he goes to the cross, and then he dies, and then he rises again, that he's fully God. And so that key there, so they thought he was the son of Joseph, is important for us, I think, as we take a little bit of a talk today about what it means to be baptized. If you had chance to read the January newsletter in my column, you noticed I talked a little bit about two phrases, an ordinal or ordinance theology versus a sacramental theology. And this came, the backdrop to this column and the discussion was our church's denominational task force and what they've been looking at and what they've been studying. And as they've also studied our history, going back to our roots in the evangelical and reformed tradition, one of the things that is very clear to us is that baptism as a sacrament is an important part of the history of who we are. But we're not like all denominations in that perspective. There are some denominations who, for instance, will not baptize little infant babies. But in our tradition, we do. And there's arguments to be made on both sides of that, and I'm not here to argue that because it's been done for thousands of years. We've accepted tradition that we do baptize infants. I think there's good theology behind that. If Reverend Coleman were here, Ms. Rinda's husband, we could have a debate because he'd say, hey, there's good theology to show you're wrong, brother. And he'd have some good theology behind it too. But the fact of the matter is, we are of a sacramental theology. And that gets differentiated from an ordinance sort of theology in this. The word ordinance gives you the sense that it's a law, right? And you have to follow the law. And if you don't follow the law, bad things are going to happen. Well, that's true. I mean, that's true even outside of the world of Christendom. If you leave the church today, and some of you might do this, you peel out of the parking lot and you speed down West Esplanade because you want to get up the street to Applebee's to beat the Methodist before they crowd in there. And the police officer shoots radar, and you're speeding, you're going to get a ticket because you broke the law. But let's go back to this verse that we just heard. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. So it was thought. The reality is, we are all the children of God, and we all are, as Christians, the seed of Abraham. And so when we're talking about theology, we have to talk about covenants. And when we talk about covenants, we have to recognize that Abrahamic covenant, because it pre-exists before the covenant of the law. The covenant of the law, an ordinance-based theology, says you must, you must, you must, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And if you don't where you must, and you do where you shall not, you got problems. You can't get to God. But the Abrahamic covenant is different. That covenant is one based on faith. The Bible tells us Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So we are of a theology that says we believe that salvation comes by faith. It comes to us by the grace of God through our faith in God, not by works, because there's nothing we can do to earn it. And so that's one of the little distinctions. If I were going to have a debate, and if I'd have thought it through after our conversations, but that might have been fun for Reverend Coleman and I to have a friendly little debate, because I love him. He's a great guy. I've filled in for him before. It'd be fun. You could hear both sides, and he could do a better job of presenting the sort of the side of Christianity that says, well, what we do with baptism is we only baptize people who are old enough to be able to understand that they are professing their faith in Jesus Christ. And in the more sacramental side of things, we say, no. What we see throughout Scripture, in fact, in the books of Acts, people would get saved and we're told that they and their whole household, their entire family, would get baptized. And then we can extrapolate from that, because it doesn't say including those little infants, but we can assume that that's exactly what they mean. And the reason we can make that extrapolation is because you'll notice other places in the New Testament, there are references to 5,000 people being fed. And that only included the men. So they're not talking about entire households. They're not talking about women and children. So when the apostles, when Luke in particular, in the book of Acts, goes so far as to say entire families, whole households, we can with reasonably good logic assume we're talking about children. Didn't Jesus say, let the children, let the little children come to me? Right? And didn't he say that we as adults need to receive him with that same level of faith that the little children do? See, that's the Abrahamic covenant. We couldn't keep the covenant of the law. So if we are going about getting ourselves baptized because we're trying to just be obedient, we're making it out to be about what we do. But in a sacramental theology, it isn't about what we do. It's about what's been done for us, and it's about what God is doing in the sacrament, whether it's baptism or Holy Communion. It's really never about us, and it shouldn't be. It should be about the work of God throughout redemptive history, making a way for us where there seemingly was no way. We hear today this beautiful presentation of what theologians like to call a theophany. When Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit ascends on him in bodily form like a dove. It's a beautiful image. Sometimes it causes us to get a little confused and we think that the Holy Spirit is a dove. Holy Spirit's not a dove. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. He's the person of one of the three of the Trinity. But he descended upon Jesus like a dove. And then we hear the voice of God the Father. That's what's called the theophany. All three persons of the Holy Trinity present at that very scene. Jesus, the Son of Man, and Son of God. The Holy Spirit and God the Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So, he was thought to be the son of Joseph. Some truth to that. He is the Son of Man, but he's also the Son of God. And he is also fully God. And so, in the tradition of that Abrahamic faith and covenant, I think it's important for us to recognize the richness of a sacramental theology that we've inherited in our Christian tradition, because it in some ways lets us off the hook. We get to realize it's not about us. We never can be good enough to deserve any of the graces that God offers us. But thank God that he does. And so these sacraments, baptism, Holy Communion, they become that outward, visible sign of an inward spiritual grace working within us by God's will, not by ours. So this baptism of the Lord Sunday, I would invite you to, if you haven't yet done so, read that little article I wrote for the January newsletter. In there, it also implores you to pray for our denominational task force, because they've been doing some hard work. They've been doing a lot of research, a lot of discerning, and a lot of prayer, and they need your prayers. And pray for our council. Today, they're going to have their first meeting of 2019. At the end of the month, we're going to have a congregational meeting, and some of our council members will have term limited out, and we'll have to bring some new council members in. So pray to the Lord that his workings be done amongst this body of Christ, that his will be done amongst this body of Christ, that the right people will feel the call of the Holy Spirit to step up and say, By faith, I believe that this is what I'm being called to do, to serve on the council, or to step up and be on the task force, or maybe to join one of the other groups around here to lend my voice to the choir for 2019, or to show up and be a part of that committee that meets religiously on Tuesdays in the evenings of Mel and Bob as they go through these buildings and keep them looking great and beautiful. Pray. Pray that you're discerning what it is that theophany is going to look like in your life. And pray to God to have the strength to answer the call to do exactly what he's calling you to do. And I pray that you receive it in the name of that theophany that we heard about today. And that you receive it by faith, just like the seed of Abraham should. And that you receive it in the name of our blessed Trinity. In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let all God's children say amen. 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 I invite you to rise this morning and...